Монголын дуу хоолой радио ярьж байна.
The Voice of Mongolia in English is speaking. Сайн байна уу? Welcome to the Voice of Mongolia in English, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. This half-hour transmission can be heard in Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12085 kHz and in Europe at 1430 UTC at 12015 kHz shortwave. You can also visit our website at www.vom.mn/en and listen to an online version of our daily broadcast. Welcome to the Voice of Mongolian English. On today's mailbox program, Robert and I will review some letters sent by listeners last week. Before we introduce some of your letters, we will update you on the recent news in Mongolia, so please stay tuned. Here's the news. Foreign Minister Batitsik to pay official visit to Thailand. The Foreign Minister of Mongolia, Batitsik Batmukh, will pay an official visit to the Kingdom of Thailand from April 22nd to 24th, 2024. On the invitation of Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Kingdom of Thailand, Parampri Bahita Nukar. The visit is remarkable as it is being implemented on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between Mongolia and Thailand, as well as the first visit at the level of foreign minister to Thailand in 14 years. During the visit, the foreign minister of Mongolia will hold official talks with the deputy prime minister and foreign minister of Thailand and meet with the deputy prime minister and minister of commerce and other political and business representatives. At the official talks and meetings, the two sides will review and assess 5 decades of friendly relations and cooperation between the two countries, exchange views on expanding trade, investment, and economic cooperation, and discuss regional and international issues of mutual interest.
Okay, our next story is the Speaker of Parliament of the Kyrgyz Republic to visit Mongolia. On the invitation of Zandan Charter, the Speaker of Parliament of Mongolia, the Speaker of the Jokurku Kenesh, which is Parliament of Kyrgyzstan Republic, Nurlanbek Shakiev, will pay an official visit to Mongolia from April 23 to 25. As part of the official visit, the two speakers will hold official talks and exchange views on the relations between the two countries, interparliamentary cooperation, and other matters of mutual interest. During the visit, Mr. Hurulshuk, the President of Mongolia, will receive both speakers of the two countries, and the Prime Minister of Mongolia will also hold the meeting. In addition, the Speaker of the Parliament of the Kyrgyz Republic will participate as an honoured guest in the Trans-Altai Sustainability Dialogue Second Conference, which will be held in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, from April 25 to 27. The official visit is the first visit of the Speaker of the Kyrgyz Parliament to Mongolia and will make an important contribution to deepening political dialogue and mutual trust between the two countries, thereby strengthening cooperation between the two legislative bodies and strengthening the legal basis of relations.
Mongolia and South Korea to implement Silk Road Traditional Medicine Project. The Ministry of Education and Science of Mongolia, Monus Group of Mongolia, the University of Pharmaceutical Sciences of Mongolia, South Gyeongsang Province, Yeondeok Province, and the Daegu Hanyu University of South Korea signed a 6-partite Memorandum of Cooperation. The signing ceremony was held at the Ministry of Education and Science of Mongolia on April 18, 2024. Under the memorandum, the International Cooperation Project on Traditional Medicine Silk Road will be implemented. This project holds significant importance for inter-country development, cultural exchange, education, scientific dissemination, support for research and innovation, and the promotion of further development of traditional medicine of the two countries internationally. The governor of North Gyeongsang Province of South Korea said, Mongolia and South Korea had an active cultural exchange through the Silk Road in the fifth to sixth countries. Based on this, six organizations from Mongolia and South Korea will implement a Silk Road traditional medicine project. We will cooperate with Mongolia to spread the world's best traditional medicine education, train healthcare professionals, and conduct joint research. This multilateral memorandum of cooperation will create opportunities for friendly cooperation and lead to mutual development of the two countries. The Silk Road Traditional Medicine Project aims to establish an international research center based on the Monus Group and the University of Pharmaceutical Sciences of Mongolia, empowering teachers and researchers by implementing training programs and conducting joint research projects, introducing modern farm technology for the cultivation of medicinal plants, and cooperating in producing and marketing innovative products based on recipes recorded in traditional medical sources. The head of the Innovation Development and Implementation Coordination Department of the Ministry of Education and Science of Mongolia emphasized, South Korea has achieved a high level in pharmaceutical technology and product development. Mongolia's traditional medicine sector possesses unique characteristics and has the potential to produce innovative products at a global standard. Hence, there is an opportunity to create innovative products by integrating traditional Mongolian techniques with advanced global technology. One of the key priorities for advancing science, technology, and innovation is traditional medicine. Through the memorandum, Monus Group, a leading entity in Mongolia's pharmaceutical industry, will collaborate with scientific institutions and universities in the northern region of South Korea. It marks the initiation of cooperation with South Korea to produce traditional technologies and products for the East Asian market.
Our next story is about primary and middle school children students to receive milk three times a week. The capital city has set up budgets related to food supply and nutrition for elementary school children. The milk program is one of them. The program will be implemented in phases. In the first phase, about 19,000 primary and middle school children from 8 schools will be included. It was planned to give 150 to 200 milliliters of milk 3 days a week. The program is under preparation to be started on May the 1st. In this regard, the advisor to the mayor in charge of public partnerships and projects said, there is a good experience of implementing the milk program in many countries of the world. For example, China started this kind of program in 2000. South Korea is also implementing the program and it starts at kindergarten level. According to research of international organizations, some studies showed positive results from the implementation of the milk program. A budget of 1 billion Mongolian tukuk for this program was approved by the city council. In addition, children will be given milk three times a week. In doing so, a one-day budget is planned for the capital, one-day budget for the district, and one-day for the parents. The children will be given industrial milk that meets hygienic requirements. According to research of the JICA International Organization, the daily calcium intake of children is about 2 to 3 times less, creating a vitamin D deficiency where dental diseases are very high. Implementing of the milk program is important for supporting the normal growth and development of children and improving the body's immunity.
Bullying Should Not Spread campaign launches. The campaign Bullying Should Not Spread has been launched by the National Police Agency. As part of the campaign, children and parents will be informed about the harmful effects of bullying. Singer Woo Jiuchul, popularly known as Thunder Z, and member of Jecherry Mongolia Company have joined the campaign. the CEO of Jet Sharing Mongolia said, one in four children is subjected to peer pressure. In 2024, 10 children committed the unthinkable due to bullying and violence from their peers. We must unite our voices against this, singer Thunder Z said. Everything will not change by just starting the campaign. However, if the attitude of the child changes, the goal of the campaign will be fulfilled. I hope parents and teachers will support the campaign. He further explained, every child should go to their school in peace. No parent wants their child to be bullied or discriminated against. As part of the campaign, appeals such as the strongest children stand up for others, turning off your friend's light won't light up yours, and don't let your friend cry were made. The campaign will continue until May 8th.
That's for all the news stories for today. Now, before we review our listeners' mail and emails, let's take a short musical break.
Чагнаа
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to The Voice of Mongolia. We will now review our mailbox for this week, looking at listener reports and feedback we have received over the last week. We will review the emails and also answer some questions if our listeners have sent any. Please take a seat and stay with us. Today's first mail was sent by Mr. Najimuddin from West Bengal. He asked about the most popular TV show in Mongolia. Here's the answer. Currently, the most popular TV show in Mongolia is an entertainment show called 24/7 by the Seashore. 24/7 signifies all day, every day, but it also translates to I love you in Mongolian. It is a dating reality show aimed at finding the perfect match. Presently, it is exclusively broadcast in Mongolia, with its primary audience being young people. The format bears some resemblance to the American TV show called Bachelor in Paradise, which aired in 2014, and its milder counterpart, Singles Inferno, produced by a Korean team and available on Netflix. The show sparks lively debates, yet it captivates a significant audience. It currently dominates discussions among viewers. Despite its Mongolian television exclusivity, episodes can be streamed on the YouTube channel.
Our next mail is also from India, from Shivendra Paul. He asked about the most popular type of public transport in Mongolia. Here's the answer. There are two main types of public transport, which are the most common. The first one is the bus. In Ulaanbaatar, the capital city, and some other major cities, there are bus services operated by both government and private companies. These buses cover various routes within the city and connect different neighbourhoods. However, the bus system is not as extensive or as reliable as in some other countries. The next one is the taxi. Taxis are readily available in urban areas like Ulaanbaatar. They are more expensive than the bus, but offer a more convenient and often faster way to get around, especially if you are travelling to a specific destination not well served by public transport. It's worth noting that outside major cities, public transportation options may be limited, especially in more rural areas. In those cases, people often rely on private vehicles, hitchhiking, or other informal means of transport. Additionally, Mongolia has a vast network of unpaved roads and vast distances between settlements, which can impact the availability and reliability of public transportation, especially during certain seasons and weather conditions.
Okay, the next mail we're going to review was sent by Debashascope from India, our 13-year listener of today's episode. He listened and wrote this reception report on 28th of March. The time was 9 to 9:30 UTC, the frequency was 12085 kHz. He wrote this message. Dear Sir, Madam, I listen to your program regularly. Today I listen to daily news followed by a musical break and a topic about the Mongolian theater on World Theaters Day. A theater is a reflection of society. It was good to hear about the importance of the Mongolian theater and its historical context. Thank you. Thank you, sir. We are appreciating your passionate reception reports. If you're listening to our radio broadcast right now, you can also send us your reception report and feedback to our email. Here is our email, vom_en@yahoo.com.
Okay, our last email comes from Juan José Ramos Auris from Peru. He sent us a request. Let's review what he wrote. I'm pleased to extend my warm greetings from the Educational Institute number 36065 on Pampachakra, situated in a district province and region of Huancavelica. Our community resides in the central area of the Andean Mountains at an altitude of 3,900 meters above sea level with a cold climate. Our primary economic activity is agriculture, and in recent years we have faced challenges due to severe cold and torrential rains. Perhaps most tragically, the COVID-19 pandemic has left many children orphaned, with some even abandoned entirely. The children of our Quechua community are experiencing difficult times, exacerbated by the high cost of living. Therefore, I'm reaching out to request your assistance in supporting and disseminating our message to radio listeners worldwide. Additionally, we need educational materials and hope you can connect with us, some compassionate listeners. I bid you farewell with the assurance of your invaluable report. Thank you, Juan Jose, for sharing your story. We don't often get messages from your part of the world, so we hope that your request reaches as many listeners as possible in South America and even across the world. We come to the end of our Monday mailbox program. Thank you for tuning in to Voice of Mongolian English, and I hope you take care until our next program. Goodbye. Bye.
Hold you.
That's the end of the program, which comes to you from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. The Voice of Mongolia provides half-hour transmission to Southeast Asia at 900 UTC on 12.085 kHz, and in Europe at 1430 UTC on 12.015 kHz shortwave. You can also download the phone application MNB Radio and listen to all the programs of Voice of Mongolia. Your emails and letters are most welcome with your feedbacks and detailed reception report. Please either email them to vom_en@yahoo.com or send them to the English section, The Voice of Mongolia, CPO Box 365, Ulaanbaatar 13, Mongolia. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.